What's up, everybody? This is Jacob with the State Traditions Podcast. We are back this week. Obviously, we just wrapped up conference championships, playoffs, and bowl games were announced yesterday, and we dive into all of that on this episode. I had the pleasure of actually being able to sit down with people in the office, and we just talked a little bit of football. It was a pretty relaxed environment, and we talked a little bit, like I said, of playoffs, conference championships, bowl games, too many bowl games, and even players sitting out for certain games as you go a little bit further into the season. So we dug through all of that. Like I said, I was able to have Michael Tucker and John Willard on the show today. So we had a really great conversation there. Before we dive into the episode, just want to remind everybody, we have a huge sale starting tomorrow, Tuesday, December the 4th, I think. But either way, it is our Bowl-cember sale. So it is all about either wrapping up your Christmas shopping or getting some fresh gear for the bowl games that your team is going to. It is a buy one, get one, 50% off. And we will change up the products each day. So on Tuesday, you will be able to get buy one, get one, 50% off cotton polos on our website. Some of those are already marked down, so you're going to get a heck of a deal. And then, like I said, the product category will change each day. So you will only have one day to get a specific product category. So if you want buy one, get one, 50% off cotton polos, you need to make sure that you hop on the site on Tuesday and make that purchase. Because on Wednesday, we change it over to accessories. So accessories will include koozies, stickers, key fobs, croquis, anything like that is going to be buy one, get one, 50% off. On Thursday, we change it up to hats. So that's one thing we never really run sales on. It's hats. That's our bread and butter here. Everybody loves our hats. We're doing buy one, get one, 50% off hats. That'll be a huge sale on Thursday. And then lastly, Friday will be buy one, get one, 50% off t-shirts. That will be select t-shirts. It won't be every shirt on the website, but it will be a lot of shirts. So once again, that's our Bowl-cember sale starting on Tuesday, going through Friday. Product category changes each day. All you have to do is use the code Bowl-cember during checkout, and we will have that on the website to make it very easy for you. And if you really want first insight into the best deals, the best sales, new products, you should sign up for our email list. You can go to statetraditions.com, sign up for our email list. You can also do that through various social media channels. You can do it on Facebook. Pretty sure you can do it on Instagram. And like I said, that'll give you insight into all the promotions that we have going on. So once again, that's the Bowl-cember sale starting Tuesday, going through Friday. Really excited about that. And without any further ado, let's dive into the episode. All right, so we're going to get into what I think was the game of the weekend.
We have last year's national championship.
Yeah, rematch of the national championship. What, 11 months later, a lot on the line. It was essentially a third playoff game. Bama versus Georgia. What did y'all think of it?
As an Alabama fan, I personally liked the outcome of the game, but, you know, felt pretty stressed out watching it. You know, I hate to see the quarterback go down, but I love to see Jalen come in, throw the touchdown pass, you know, because people kind of talked about how his passing game wasn't the best. So, you know, it was nice to see him come in and throw the touchdown to, I believe, tie it. And then for him to get it done on the ground to score the winning touchdown, I think that makes a great story.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a feel-good story with Jalen, but Georgia dominated that game until about halfway through the fourth quarter when Georgia made some mistakes. Jalen started playing well. Tua played awful the whole entire game, if that's my opinion. But
I think the thing that I've kind of said about Tua all year finally showed up in the game, and that, you know, Tua has a lot of playmakers around him and can make some and can get away with subpar decision making throughout most of the year. And I think it kind of showed in the championship game where he was he tried to do too much, and it bit him in the tail a handful of times, to the point that I hate to say it, that he probably got himself hurt trying to do too much instead of just getting rid of the ball. And you know, obviously I hope he's doing well and you know, has a speedy recovery. But I think, you know, part of that's just going to come with maturity. As he continues to get older, he'll understand. Sometimes, you know, it's just easier to take a sack or easier just to throw the ball away rather than try and, you know, make a first down or a touchdown every time.
Yeah, he made some bad decisions along with, like, one intentional grounding play. Like, he was just chucking it up and hopefully it getting out of bounds. Like, one of them could have easily been picked off, and it wasn't. But, yeah, wasn't impressed with him last game.
But, you know, him going down with that ankle, you know, I believe it was the fourth play of the game or something, you could tell that that was affecting his play from the rest of the game. It looked to me like his knee was holding up fine, but, you know, and then when he got his ankle rolled up on when Jalen had to come in, that's not fun for anybody. You know, that hurts. You know, I was just really glad to see Jalen come in and perform the way he did.
Right, and I think, you know, you said it earlier, Tuck, in that, like, that's really kind of the highlight of the game is that Jalen came in after riding a pine the entire season, which mentally is really tough to do, and I can't imagine being a guy that played in two national championships and then...
Yeah, two.
Yeah, and then... having to ride the pine the whole season, like that's got to be tough. And you know, I saw several people on the internet that kind of praised him for sticking around this year when he probably had the opportunity to transfer earlier in the year and you know, or at least leave Alabama and start the pursuit of some other schools. So I think you're right, seeing him being able to get it done and have kind of the comeback story of the year was really cool to see towards the end of the game, and you could even see it on Saban's face. That's probably the first time I've ever seen him actually show any emotion at all, was in that immediate post-game press conference, and he got a little choked up, which, like I said, that's so not Saban. It was kind of refreshing to see, actually. He is a human.
Yeah. And then, you know, back to what John said about Georgia dominating until the fourth quarter. That's why Alabama has their fourth quarter program. Mm-hmm. You know, all the two-a-days through the summer, the weight room, the running, then fall camp, you know, really prepares the guys for the clutch moments, you know, in the fourth quarter when they really need to get the job done. And I think that showcased well in last week's game.
What did y'all think about the fake punt?
Obviously, it cost Georgia a playoff spot. Like,
yeah. But if it would have worked, it would have probably won the game for them.
Yeah.
I mean, so, again, they were what? It was 4th and 11?
Yeah, it was an interesting call.
I don't even think Gus would have made that call.
Yeah. Les Miles wouldn't have even made that call in his heyday, you know? Yeah, I think truly it cost Kirby Smart and Georgia a playoff spot. But at the same time, I kind of... talking out of both sides of my mouth, I respect it because you're right. They probably would have won the game. So, you know, especially you see it a lot where people take the safe route to try and go to overtime or to try and, you know, protect a lead. So to see somebody actually, you know, have some huevos and go for it.
And the best time to do is fake is when no one's expecting it.
So, oh, yeah, true.
So no one was expecting it. They just executed terribly.
Yeah,
I'd say the fans probably weren't expecting it, but you know how the defense, how Alabama's defense reacted to that, they probably smelled that in the huddle. You know, everybody stayed home, stayed on their assignments, and I believe they might have gotten 1 yard out of that.
Well, apparently it was a backup quarterback who got the snap.
Interesting. So
I didn't notice that until someone told me today. So that would have been a big red flag.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, Tuck, you just said it again, like everybody stayed on assignment, which is a credit to obviously the extreme accountability that Saban and the Alabama team puts on their team every week is, you know, everybody's responsible for what you're doing. And it showed up right then and there that nobody bailed out on you know, going into punt coverage basically, and played their assignments, and obviously, you know, worked out well for them.
Well, moving on, just like Alabama, 1-4, Alabama versus Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, so the playoff rankings this year, you know, we could I think it's interesting. You know, the right now the playoff system, I think, is the best thing that has come to date. Like, the BCS was obviously flawed. And the playoff system, I think, will be perfect when we could get it up to 8 teams. But right now, this is what we have, and this is what we have to deal with. And even, you know, my personal opinion and tangent here, you know, Alabama at 1, Clemson at 2, Notre Dame at 3, Oklahoma at 4. This is probably the right move by the playoff committee. But, you know, they said originally with the concept of the college football playoff was to put the 4 best teams on the field and let them play it out and see who wins. I don't think the 4 best teams are in the playoff this year.
No.
I think Georgia should be in over Notre Dame.
There should be like a play-in game or something.
Well, essentially the SEC championship was the play-in game. Because even if Georgia had won, they would have obviously punched their ticket.
Yeah.
And Alabama with 1 loss, who dominated the entire season,
would have been it.
Still gets in the playoffs. So it basically was a play-in game. But even with Georgia's loss, I think they still have a better team than Notre Dame, but all the different factors probably don't account for it. You know, Georgia really didn't have a huge signature win this year, really. And the 1 loss to LSU, even though they're a top 10 team, probably hurts their resume a little bit. Whereas Oklahoma, with their 1 loss, they avenged in the championship game by beating Texas. So,
right.
I don't know. I still think that Georgia kind of got screwed out of a playoff spot, but at the same time, it's tough to not put in an undefeated Notre Dame.
And a 2-loss Georgia team.
A 2-loss, one of those losses coming to the team that is arguably the most dominant team this year. So, yeah.
And then, you know, back to the 4-team playoff, it's what we've got, you know, and somebody every year is going to get their feelings hurt, you know, and not just their feelings hurt, but, I mean, I think Georgia should have been in over Notre Dame just because I feel like they're a better football team, and that's coming from an Alabama fan, you know, but, I mean, I think it would be a really good idea to expand the playoff, either to 6 or 8 teams, you know, however they want to do it. But I feel like once we did that, that would take away this constant, you know, problem we have every year of selecting, you know, just 4.
Yeah, I heard a good argument the other day that was saying the more spots you have in the playoffs, the less the season means. So if you think about that, kind of makes sense.
I would disagree, because I think you still have to have a dominant season, or at least a really, really good season to make the playoffs. Because if you brought in, let's just say, 6 teams right now, who else would make the cut?
So if it was an 8 team, UCF would be in there.
And yeah.
I know you don't like UCF.
Yeah,
so
I don't.
Do you think UCF's a top 8 team?
I really don't. I think they are ranked at number 8. Yeah. I think they are ranked at number 8 because they have 2 undefeated seasons. I think if you just look at their quality of wins and their body of work this season and their team overall, not just like, you know, their win-loss, but if you look at their team, they are not a top 8, top 10 team in the country. So, yes, an 8-team playoff would probably include UCF, but guess what? That would take out this controversy of there's no, you know, UCF didn't make the playoffs this year, even though they're arguing they should. It would take out that controversy because UCF would get in and they would be able to lay it on the field and be able to play 2 games to get to a national championship. And then, you know, it would be decided. Now, with that being said, I don't think UCF wins the game if they get in the playoffs, whoever they would be matched up against, because they'd go up against Alabama first game and they're out. Like, it's not going to happen.
And not even just Alabama. I mean, if they played Oklahoma, Clemson, Notre Dame, Georgia, you know, I think that's definitely a loss for UCF because they don't play caliber teams, you know, that would be in that top, you know, say if it's a 16 playoff in that top six.
Yeah. I don't think they can hang. I mean, physically, they can't hang with everybody. UCF is really good. They've played really well this year. They're coached really well, but at the same time, like, you know, coming from a guy that played at a smaller school, when you play those bigger schools, everything, you know, you can keep it competitive, and usually what you see is in the fourth quarter, the Alabama, the Georgia, the SEC teams start to pull away because it's size, it's speed, and then on top of that is depth. You know, Alabama has 5 stars riding the bench right now that haven't seen the field yet, and UCF has like 1 4 star. I don't know how many 4 stars, but I saw that maybe they didn't, and I should have this fact in front of me, but they don't have a 5 star on the team. And I know, you know, coming out of high school, player development, you know, all that is very subjective, but at the same time, they just don't have the size, the speed to hang with the big dogs, if you will.
I completely agree.
Yeah. But with that being said, I do think the 4 teams that are in it, like I said, if you put Georgia in it, I think you get it right. But I'm kind of happy with the way it shook out.
I think they made the right decision, because if they would have put Georgia in there,
too much controversy.
The Big 12 would have just lost their mind. Yeah.
But, you know, if the Big 12 wants to get a team in the playoffs, like, get better. Like, yeah. that's a very easy way to say it, but at the same time, they haven't had a really dominant team over the past few years to make a case to say, hey, these guys need to be in the playoffs. I mean, I guess you've got Oklahoma, but outside of that.
You know, this was my playoff prediction from earlier in the year was right, except for Georgia and Notre Dame.
Really?
So I picked the exact same playoff, except Georgia was in and Notre Dame wasn't.
But, I mean, coming into the season, I think.
That was obvious, yeah.
Yeah. But, no, you called it. Yeah, I remember, now that you mentioned it, I remember earlier in the season you even said Kyler Murray. Is that right?
Kyle Murray,
I'm sorry. You called him a freak early on in the season. And, once again, you called this right. So, congrats.
75%.
Right. 75, yeah, close enough.
That's
yeah.
Passing.
Yeah, passing grade. That's a C. Hey, C's get degrees.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know about the Clemson Notre Dame matchup. I mean, I think Clemson wins that one.
I think it could go either way.
I definitely think Clemson's got it. But Notre Dame will be a lot fresher, you know.
Having an extra week off, you know, definitely helps players.
Championship.
You know, and I think that's the thing that I really had the biggest problem with them making in, you know. Not that they're not a really good team. They're one of the best teams in the country. They've played well. But when you don't play a conference championship game, it's almost like getting an extra bye week, basically. And, you know, almost saying that that's not fair, it's kind of not fair. But at the same time, you know, it is what it is. And that's why the playoff is in place.
And Notre Dame, only reason I'm kind of leaning towards them is because they played a harder schedule than Clemson. Notre Dame has had some big games that they showed up in. They played Georgia this year? That was last year.
That was last year, yeah.
Michigan, they had beat. Mm-hmm. Who else? I mean, they'd go on the road to Virginia Tech, which they're awful. But they are a bowl game team, and that's all that matters. But they had a harder schedule. I don't have it pulled up right now, but they did.
Yeah, I mean, and Clemson hadn't, I mean, we were talking about this earlier. Clemson hasn't had a big game all year, really. You know, if you go back all the way, you can talk about Alabama played several big games. Oklahoma obviously played some big games. Ohio State and Michigan both had some big wins. But Clemson's kind of been quiet all season, under the radar. Their defense has been really well. Their quarterback's gotten all the press. But, like, as a team, they haven't had, like, a signature win or a come from behind or anything where they've really, you know, made a name for themselves. But they played really well, and here we are.
Clemson's had 2 top 25 matchups, one being Boston College and one being NC State.
Exactly.
So that's not really saying much. Yeah. Top-heavy ACC.
Exactly.
Notre Dame.
Then talk about Notre Dame and Oklahoma. I'm almost surprised that Notre Dame wasn't 4 and Oklahoma was 3. I mean, even with the loss, you know, with Oklahoma, I mean, they avenged it. But once again, the conference championship game, you know, that's where they avenged their loss, you know, to Texas, who's still a very good football team. I don't know. I would just like to see Notre Dame join the conference, you know, and have to play that extra game in there.
And really, it'd be easier for them to make the playoff if they did that, but they don't want it to be easier on them. But, they, I mean, they've had a tough schedule. They played Michigan, top 15, Stanford, top 10. Virginia Tech was top 25 at the time. Syracuse, 12. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean,
a 12, 11 and a half underdog to Clemson.
I mean, either way you do it, if you flipped Oklahoma and Notre Dame, they still got it right. I think we're still going to get some good games out of this, too.
Without a doubt.
I think Alabama-Oklahoma is going to be a fun game to watch. Murray at Oklahoma, mobile quarterback, could give Alabama some trouble.
Yep.
I think Alabama's defense is probably a little more sound this year, and hopefully that won't cause as many issues. In Alabama, you know, it doesn't matter. I think this last game proved that it doesn't really matter who's at quarterback back there. There's enough talent, and both of those quarterbacks are really, really good that they're going to play well, and you're not really going to miss a beat. So I think that's going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah. And Alabama's defense is showing up at the right time. You know, earlier in the season, nobody talked too highly about the defense or too, you know, negatively about the defense. But I think these last couple games, the defense has really shown up and reminds me of, you know, the earlier Saban years at Alabama with just the defense that absolutely dominates.
Yeah. And then, you know, Clemson-Notre Dame, I don't have much to say about it. I think it'll be a fun game to watch. It'll be good. So the playoffs, I'm excited about this year. Like I said, it would be great to see Georgia in it, but it is what it is. Moving on to the rest of the New Year Six, got some interesting matchups here. Looking at Georgia, Texas in the Sugar Bowl, that'll be a fun game.
Yes, yeah. Really looking forward to that one, especially with how well Georgia played against Alabama this past weekend. They led the game or were tied basically the whole game until the last under 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Alabama had that final drive to seal the deal with Jalen, but I definitely think Georgia's a very strong football team. I think they'll get the win over Texas.
Yeah, and I think they're going to come out and, like you said, after losing to Alabama, they're going to come out with a little fire. They're going to want to prove a point and say, you know, we're still one of the top programs in the country.
Exactly.
So they're going to come out and really have a good showing, I feel like.
Yeah, I would really like to see a Georgia-Ohio State matchup.
That would have been probably a better matchup, but, I mean, we still end up with a Georgia-Texas. We end up with an Ohio State-Washington, which I feel like could be interesting, too. I think Ohio State's going to come out on top, but I think it's still going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to me that they don't play, like, 5 versus 6 and 7 versus 8, like, down the rankings like that. I think that would make some sense, especially for these New Year's Six games and not go with these conference.
Yeah, they still got the conference affiliations with the New Year's Six games, which, once again, I'm like you, now that we have a playoff system, those conference affiliations, it doesn't really matter anymore. It really should just be, let's put the best teams and the best matchups in these games and you know, hopefully get some more viewers in the game. Not necessarily we've got the same, you know, same teams from the same conference in it every year.
Yeah.
All right.
And moving on to the one that I'm not excited about as an LSU fan is
against the national champions.
Yeah, defending LSU against defending national champions, UCF in the Fiesta Bowl. I think this is a trap game for LSU. You know, several losses in the season. You know, nothing, especially that last one to A&M. You know, that's a heartbreaking.
Could have gone either way.
Yeah. and then you, you know, get really excited because you played well all season. All your losses were quality losses, if you want to call them that. And then you end up playing UCF. You know, I think they were really hoping for a New Year's Six against somebody like Washington, like Texas, like Ohio State. And LSU kind of drew the short end of the straw. And I think it's going to be a trap game. I'm afraid they're going to lose that game.
Exactly, because, you know, if you're LSU, you go in and you beat UCF,
mm-hmm.
everybody's just going to say, oh, well, congratulations, you did what you were supposed to. You know, there's really no upside to this game. And then if you lose to UCF, that's, you know, everybody, that's just going to shock the world, you know, or I guess the world besides UCF fans, which are now going to have a solid case of, hey, we're good enough to do this thing, you know, with everybody else. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to that one. I hope LSU can pull out the victory just to kind of quiet the UCF fans.
I would hope that would happen, but I'm afraid it's not. I want, and really ideal situation as an LSU fan is LSU comes out and dominates. So like you said, they quiet the UCF fans. You get a solid win towards the end of the season that, you know, it's against UCF, but it's a top 10 team that you end up beating in a New Year's Six bowl game. And, you know, that kind of is a, you know, high note for the seniors instead of having back-to-back losses against A&M in seven overtimes and then UCF in a New Year's Six bowl game would be a terrible way to end the season. But yeah, we'll,
a good way to start off the postseason, preseason kind of thing. You don't want to start that off with a loss to UCF.
Exactly.
I think Coach O is going to have the boys right. He's going to have them fired up.
Go Tigers.
Yeah. Go Tigers. I think that's going to be a good one there.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, the weakest matchup, in my opinion, of the New Year's Six is Florida-Michigan. Michigan, obviously, you know, played well all season.
Got beat pretty bad by Ohio State.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they could have been in the playoffs easily.
Had they beaten Ohio State, they probably would be in the playoffs right now. The Florida matchup, I'm just not really excited about. Like, this on paper, like, doesn't get me excited to watch this on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day.
Yeah. Going down the list, if you look at all the other bowls, what are you looking forward to? I mean, if you had to pick one of the non-New Year's Six bowls to watch, which one would it be?
You know, I jotted some on the sheet here that stuck out to me. I think the one that I wrote down first is probably the one that I'm most interested in, Kentucky versus Penn State in the Citrus Bowl. A lot of the, you know, there's so many bowl games that you end up with some not great matchups, some very one-sided matchups. This is one that I think could be good as a, you know, fan of the SEC. Kentucky played pretty well until the last stretch of the season. If they cap this season off with a win at Penn State, I think that puts a feather in their hat that gets Kentucky a little bit closer to being relevant in the East again. And I don't know. I feel like that could be a fun game to watch.
That'll be interesting. It really will be. I'm gonna pick Auburn versus Purdue just because of the atmosphere in Auburn right now. Rumor is that Gus is staying, and he took like a pay cut on his guaranteed money or something like that.
So that he's just buying himself time.
Yeah,
buying himself time. So he's got one more year apparently. So Auburn loses to Purdue. That's pretty bad.
You know, had he not kind of restructured his deal or whatever they're calling it, I would say this could be the game that gets him fired. But for some reason, the higher ups at Auburn want to stick with Gus, and I don't know. I think that's just a bad situation all around. He comes out with a disappointing year. The buyout is just so astronomically high; they can't get rid of him. And then you end up playing, you know, decent bowl game, Music City Bowl in Nashville. Should be a fun game, but I feel like, John, you just said it, there's a bad atmosphere in Auburn right now, and if they don't win this, that just puts a real black cloud over the offseason for them.
They might have something in that new contract where if he loses to Purdue, he's out.
Yeah.
For free.
I do feel like the Gus bus is about to run out of gas. I feel like it's kind of been sputtering as of late. And if Purdue comes out and does what they did against Ohio State.
Yeah.
I mean, they hung 29 on them.
Yeah.
You know, earlier this year. So if they come out and do that against Auburn, it's going to be very, very interesting to see what all the Auburn fans have to say about all that.
Yeah. Another game that I think could be a real score fest and fun to watch. It might not be the most sound football game, but Missouri Oklahoma State could, like, I would take the over on this game, just kind of knowing these two teams.
It's gonna be high powered.
Yeah, I think there's gonna be a lot of yards in the air, a lot of points scored. I think it's gonna be one of those, you know, bowl games that's a fun matchup, fun to watch. No real high stakes here, but just one of the things that I love about bowl season is you see these non-conference matchups, these fun things that you would never see on a normal weekend. And I think the game's just, because of that, it creates a different atmosphere around it. So that's one I'll be watching. Just, like I said, hopefully put a little money on the over and see what happens.
Life's too short to bet the under.
Yeah, always.
And I will say, Missouri's got that definitely NFL quarterback or NFL caliber quarterback. And, they not necessarily gave Alabama a run for their money, but, you know, they made
people it interesting.
Look twice. Yeah, without a doubt, made it interesting at home in Bryant-Denny this year. And that's not an easy place for any visiting team to play, but I feel like they held their composure and, really made somewhat of better of a game than I thought it was going to be. So it'll be interesting to see what they're going to do against Oklahoma State.
I legitimately thought Bama was going to put like 75 points on Missouri that game. And like, oh, you
so
said, they made it interesting, as interesting as it can be against Alabama.
Right.
So like I said, because of that and because of what Oklahoma State has done all season, I think that'll be a fun game. What about any of these other ones really jump out at y'all? Mississippi State, Iowa, Iowa State, Washington State, TCU, Cal, Boston College, Boise State. Any of those jump out?
Washington State, Iowa State. I feel like Washington State probably just run all over them, throw all over them. UAB, come on now.
That's one that I threw in here because I'm just excited about that one. You know, we're here in Birmingham. UAB gets their football program shut down. 2 years later, they're conference champs, and they're going to a bowl game. And not only are they going to a bowl game, I think they probably got one of the better deals on bowl games, going to the Boca Raton Bowl.
Oh, without a
seriously.
Doubt.
Yeah. A lot of these bowl games, I think, like I said, I could go on a rant that there are way too many bowl games. And some of them, like, it's just not even a reward. Like, if I was a college football player and I was playing all year long to go to a bowl and you send me to Shreveport, Louisiana, like, do you know how, like, disappointing that is?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, UAB is sitting on the beach at Boca Raton in December where it's going to be, like, 85 and sunny for winning, you know, Conference USA. And they get to play Northern Illinois, who, you know, was relevant a few years ago, but I think UAB ends up winning that game, their first bowl game back after, losing the program a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that would be a great story if they came out on top of that one for sure.
Yeah.
And kind of talking about all the – how there are too many bowl games and stuff, what are y'all's thoughts of, you know, players and not in the New Year's Six bowls, or, you know, just kind of the smaller bowl games, you know, players that are going to the NFL – deciding not to play in those games, like whether they be junior or senior, you know, not to play with the last game with their team. Granted, doesn't really mean much, but what do y'all think about that?
Well, it's kind of, if nothing happens, like if you're guaranteed not to get hurt,
right,
like
exactly.
You could have a career-ending injury, and
yeah,
be like,
and nobody
never,
would want to touch you.
Should have never played that game in my life.
Yeah,
so kind of like Kirby going for fake punt.
Yeah,
If it works, it works. If it doesn't, you lose the game and you miss the playoff.
It's real tough to say because, you know, you want to sit there and think that you want to sit there and think that, you know, somebody could have a great game and increase their draft stock. But most of the time, like, those NFL scouts aren't necessarily looking at that bowl game as a
make or break. Yeah, that's going to be a deciding factor in right. whether they're going to get picked up or not.
And it's real tough to tell a guy, like, hey, man, we really appreciate your effort in the bowl game, and we're sorry you tore your ACL, and now you dropped two rounds in the draft, and you went from, you know, a guy that's getting drafted on the second day to being picked up in free agency if you're lucky. I feel like that's, you know, really tough. And obviously none of us are in that situation, so it's tough for us to kind of compare apples to apples. I don't know. And I really hate it when coaches try and guilt players over that too.
Right. Because what if it does happen where, you know, you're going to go, you know, in either first or second round or something like that, and then, you know, midway through the game, you blow out your ACL, and then you lose potentially, you know, millions of dollars
right.
and for even, that one play.
And even with draft insurance that they have now, to where if you do get hurt, you can kind of recover some of the money you might make in the NFL. That's only, very first world of me to say this, but, like, it's only a few million dollars versus the potential to make, you know, tens of million dollars over a 3 to, you know, if you're lucky, 10-year career in the NFL. So even with draft insurance, it makes it real, real tough to want to play those bowl games. And like I said, if you're a guy who's, you know, on Iowa State's team right now and you're projected to be a fifth-round draft pick, man, it's really tough to get motivated to play a bowl game. I don't know, but, like I said, it's really tough to say. I think it's a business decision at the end of the day, and each player has to, you know, sit there and think about it and look at their finances and pray about it and see what, you know.
Right. No, I completely agree. And I agree with the fact that what you said earlier about the coaches guilting the players into playing, you know, what pretty much could be a meaningless bowl game.
Right.
You know, because God forbid something happens and then.
Yeah.
Potentially there goes your shot at the NFL. And depending on the injury.
And it's not like, the coach is going to pay you back for it either.
Right.
He's going to give you a pat on the back and console you. You know, that's probably selfish of us to think, but that's, you know, that's life. And, you know, one thing that you got to keep in mind too, is that, you know, not only if you're an NFL prospect, you're treating this as, you know, your life, your business, but, college football coaches, you know, they treat it as a business too. If you're, getting hurt or if you're not performing up to par, there's always somebody right behind you willing to take your spot.
Right.
So, exactly. You know, I think, you know, there's no clear-cut answer on whether or not you should do this. But honestly, any, you know, and I'll say this, any coach that does guilt their players over it, really at that point, you know, does not have the best thing in mind for that player individually. And that's, you know, maybe a little controversial, maybe ruffle some feathers. But that's just, you know, the way I feel. If somebody feels like they're doing this for their best interest, you know, that might be a little selfish on their part. But at the same time, you put in 4 years, 5 years for the team already. That one game doesn't make or break anything.
Right. It could break a lot of stuff, you know, but doesn't necessarily make a whole lot.
Right.
Because, you know, most of the time, teams have already, like, they're not going to look at that one bowl game
right
to decide, like, oh, do we want to, you know, take this guy that did well in the
Idaho potato bowl,
in the first responders bowl in Dallas.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, I think that that about wraps up our podcast this week. Tuck, man, good to have you on. John left us to apparently take a business call. You know, we see what's important around here. Probably not the podcast, let's be honest. But man, it was good having y'all on. For y'all that are still listening, if you would like a discount on some state tradition stuff, tomorrow, we mentioned this earlier in the podcast, but tomorrow starts our Bowl Cember sale. So on Tuesday, we will start our buy one, get one, 50% off, different category of products each day. So Tuesday, buy one, get one, 50% off polos. Wednesday, all accessories. Thursday, hats. And Friday, t-shirts. As a big sale, we hardly ever do a, you know, BOGO on hats and tees. So use the code BOWLCIMBER during checkout and save some dough. Wrap up your Christmas shopping. Get something for these great bowl games. If you're going to Tampa, Memphis, San Antonio, Dallas,
Shreveport,
get you some fresh gear. And other than that, thank you all so much.